Welcome, Simon. Thanks for joining me today. This is Simon Sharp, Chief Executive Officer of Virto, who are kindly sponsoring the DigiGov Expo on the 24th and 25th of September 2025. So, Simon, thank you very much. Lovely to have you here. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. And how has your experience of DigiGov been so far?
You know what? It's been absolutely amazing. You know, we came in, to be frank, we made a big investment in DigiGov this year. And we've really lent into it. We've invested a lot in the stand. You can probably see that, the size of the stand that we've invested in here.
Big.
But you know what? It's been worth every penny. You know, it's been great to speak to existing customers. You know, we're very, very customer centric. And that's one of the things that I generally really lean into and generally believe. So it's been really a really good opportunity for us to meet our existing customers, partners as well. So, you know, that's something, again, that we haven't focused on too much to date, but we can absolutely see how we can work hand in hand with some of the larger system integrators that are here. So obviously you've seen PwC, KPMG, these guys. We're not working with them yet, but yeah, those types of partners would be great. There's a lot of value. They're delivering lots of large-scale digital transformation initiatives, projects, etc., that I think we would be able to complement with the experience that we have in the team and also the tool sets that we have.
So we'll get into the tools shortly. So that, I know that's something I'm pretty keen to be asking you about, these new tools you've got on offer. But firstly, sort of to set the scene, I've heard it's your first year in the job at Virto. How's that transition been, and what's brought you to this point to being Chief Executive Officer of a company like Virto?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. So I'm actually relatively new to the PPM space myself. I've spent the last 20 years or so working in cybersecurity, governance, risk, compliance.
Yep.
For some very large companies such as RSA Security, which was part of EMC and now Dell, but lots of growth or scale-up companies, VC-backed typically, being in the cybersecurity world, it tended to be sort of Israeli technology. There's a hotbed comes out of Tel Aviv. There's lots of cybersecurity technologies that come out, and then they tend to relocate to the US, which, you know, typically is the biggest market and, you know, access to lots of VC money, etc. And I've worked for a number of those companies over the last 10 to 15 years, typically being the first person on the ground in EMEA, so Europe, Middle East, and Africa, and also more broadly into APAC as well in certain instances. So very much of that sort of entrepreneurial scale-up background that has led me to taking the role where I am today. So Virto took their first external round of funding last year.
Right.
And that's where I've come into the frame. So we're very lucky to be backed by a London-based private equity firm called Scale Up Capital. And I'm working in them. So I came in through the concept of a buy-in CEO, essentially.
I see.
So they took the majority stake in the company and effectively dropped me in to run the business going forward. So leveraging my experience scaling companies from 1 to 10 million, from 10 to 50, 50 to 100 million as we go forward.
So this is a new phase of growth for Virto in general. And how has the strategic direction of Virto shifted since you've got this investment from ScaleUp? Is the focus on product development, expanding into new areas? Could you sort of open up that door for me?
Yeah, for sure. So since coming on board, we've seen a huge amount of transformation over the last 12 months or so. A lot of that has been on the back of the investment that we now have access to, and that's enabled us to really build the talent that we have in the team. So very much focused on the go-to-market side. So we put a huge amount of investment into marketing now, and again, being at DigiGov is part of that process. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's great to be able to raise our brand, because I think, you know, again, some of the feedback from the show this week is, you know, where have you guys been hiding? You know, we are actually the leading PPM solution in public sector in the UK by spend. And we've seen that through stats, through market intelligence that we've now got access to. So we are the leading PPM solution. So, you know, again, people coming up to a fairly large stand saying, well, you know, where have you guys been hiding, you know? So, yeah, that's been really good. And it's good to see that coming forward. And we hired a new CMO earlier this year, Tara O'Sullivan, working with Laura Watts, our marketing manager. So they're really, really getting that marketing engine firing. We brought in new sales people as well into the team and doubled down on product development as well. You know, I think we've just been able to have a very clear vision about what we're doing. So essentially we want to be that trusted standard for portfolio program and project management across the UK public sector. So clear vision, talent, and innovation, I would say, are the key things that have driven us forward over the last 12 months.
Okay, so across that 12 months, a lot of change taking place, and rightly so. And with that comes challenges. Can you think of one of the most significant challenges you face in this year as CEO, and how have you been able to overcome it?
I think, as I touched on earlier, I think I would say it's that visibility and raising our profile. I think I joined the company, we're so fortunate to have such loyal customers. And we have a very, very, in a SaaS world, we have a very, very low churn rate, as they call it. So when customers join us and we're able to work with them, very, very few leave us, which is an amazing
place. It's a great testament, right?
Oh, it's amazing to come in. And I came into that. So the company already had...
was in a great position.
Is in a really good, solid position, yeah. So we had that customer base, but we also had a really, really solid product. It's very, very good. And I think the challenges I had coming in was, well, how do we tell people about this, right? How do we start promoting ourselves more? How do we go to market faster and accelerate what we need to do? Because again, as I mentioned earlier, we're now private equity backed, and with that, normally comes with a reasonable amount of pressure to grow the company faster and scale it, of course, for the, you know, the investors ultimately, right? So that's probably the biggest challenge we've had, which was obviously completely transparent to me coming in, is like, we're bringing you in to scale this company fast and accelerate the growth ultimately. Yeah. So that's what we're doing. But one of the key things for me is that customer centricity. And I've always lent on that. I'm a great proponent of revenue architecture, if I can go down that road, you know, about I'm an ambassador for Winning by Design, which is a recognized revenue architecture methodology and thinking ultimately, right? But it's very much built around SaaS companies grow and scale by being customer centric, right? So it's all about delivering consistently value and fast impact to your customer base. So ultimately, they see the value of working with you. So they don't want to leave you as a supplier, right? You're continually asking them what their challenges are and coming to them with value. And then that bleeds into our innovation. So we only build features and functions and develop our solution aligned to what our customers want and need.
Yep.
And we can probably go on and talk a little bit more about what we're doing with AI.
But definitely.
But that is why we are investing so heavily in AI. And Ross Mardell, our CPO, you presented earlier at the show today, you know, he would have talked about this concept of AI washing, you know, and people just talking about AI for AI's sake and kind of almost jump in on the bandwagon a bit. But we certainly don't do that, you know, and we've really lent into AI, or VI as we like to call it, or Virto intelligence, in a number of ways, and be very happy to talk more about that.
Yeah, definitely. So let's get right into it. So let's get to the specifics of how Virto's AI tools can provide real tangible benefits to the public sector. So could you walk us through a specific use case of your AI tools? How would it help public sector PMO team on a day-to-day basis? Yeah, could you give us a very specific example of that?
Yeah, sure. So I think what I would say is there's typically sort of three use cases when it comes to what we've been building with the AI suite and Virto Intelligence. And I think I would distill that down into sort of search and reporting being the first one.
Right.
So teams can find the right information that they need in seconds instead of having to wade through lots of spreadsheets and various reports.
Yeah.
That tends to be one of the biggest challenges organizations have today. They might have Excel spreadsheets, Word, Power BI, bleeding into PowerPoint, you know, and various multiple versions of documents all over the place.
Yep.
Literally burning days on reporting for specific stakeholders. We're building AI to be able to automate and distill all that down, so you've then got all of that in a central system that can be accessed very, very easily. So I'd say search and reporting would be number one.
Yep.
Number two, workflow automation. So automating those repetitive tasks like risk updates or progress reporting, freeing up staff to focus on their higher value work. So really using AI to do the heavy lifting, as it were, but then freeing up people's time to really focus on the more strategic problem solving areas. And then the third area I would say is predictive insights. So identifying where a project might be drifting off course before it becomes a problem. And so we've really dug down into that. And ultimately what we're trying to do here is help public sector teams deliver more with less, which we all know is the reality right now. So importantly, we're introducing these tools in partnerships with our clients and making sure they're practical, secure, and add real value from day one, ultimately.
Well, the security element was what I was going to pick up on, because obviously the public sector, rightly so, has a strong focus on the data security and governance. And how are Virto's AI tools securely designed, and I guess designed with that security in mind to meet those stringent requirements?
Yeah. You know, without getting too technical about it, you know, we're leveraging our own LLMs, you know, and the teams have really, really done a lot of work. You know, we're very blessed with some very smart developers and data scientists within our products and engineering teams. And ultimately, we've done a lot of testing across the various, the more commonly known, you know, the OpenAIs, etc. Yep. But the thing with AI as well is you've always got to bear in mind the cost of actually doing things, you know, and I think that came apparent to us quite quickly of building all of this, and the processing can almost make it prohibitive to provide certain services if you're running it in an inefficient way.
Yeah.
So the guys have done lots and lots of work around that to find out the best LLMs that we can use at the most cost-effective price, so we can obviously provide it at a price point that our customers will want to embed it at that point. But the security point of that is, as you say, very, very important, in the sense that you train our LLMs in a very secure offline manner. You know, Ross has described it, our CPO described it to me simply in the past as, you know, effectively taking those LLMs and put them in a cave, effectively, right? So they're completely isolated, completely offline. It's being trained on lots and lots of data, but then before it goes into any type of production or any data that we would use, it's completely isolated in a cave, offline, so there's no issues from that perspective.
Okay. So how do you ensure that the AI tools are transparent and that the user can trust the recommendations that they provide? Some AI tools that I've seen, as it's thinking, will sort of explain its workings out, especially that some AI agents will kind of describe what it's getting up to behind the scenes. How does Virto ensure that there is transparency between the user and the platform?
As I say, I think it's all about ensuring that everyone's aware that the data that we're using is not being shared openly, you know, like a ChatGPT would, for example, you know, and it could bleed out into the wider world. You know, that is certainly not the case with us. Is, as I say, it's a trained model before any data, you know, sensitive data is processed on that, essentially. So it's completely offline, you know, and we're working forward with that, and we'd explain that with our customers as we go forward.
Yeah, okay, cool. So we touched on the AI tools, and I want to go on, if I may, to the element of sort of the market leadership and, I guess, Virto maintaining that momentum. So what does it mean for your clients to have a P3M platform that's purpose-built for the public sector?
Yeah, so I think for us, right, for our clients, it means confidence that they're using the standard solution trusted by central government organisations, local government, NHS, and housing associations. So we have many customers across all of those four segments, all within public sector. And as I mentioned earlier, we are the leading P3M solution in the UK public sector today. So that should give everyone lots of confidence that we're continually listening to what each of those customers and those segments are looking for. And we're innovating our products and our people, by the way, because I think one of our key differentiators is it's not just technology. Although I've just talked a lot about technology and innovation, the people that we have in this team is immense, right? So the consultants, if you like, at the end. So, you know, as soon as we bring a customer on board, we look after them from day one. So we have complete delivery, implementation teams, hypercare, as we call it, and then we roll that through to BAU, where you have your own client success manager and access to the wider team that we're working with you day in, day out. And I think one of the things that I think is really, really, I'm really proud of is the way that we've built user groups and user communities.
Well, this is what I'm going to touch on, because you've mentioned people, and people has been a key theme that I've drawn out of some of the discussions at DigiGov. It's okay having all these tools, but it does rely on the people. And yes, so I wanted to pick up on that really, and for you to, if you could describe the sort of community of users that you've built up using Verto's platform and how you managed to sort of harness that to drive product innovation.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is just so much at our core. So, you know, I mentioned earlier, customer centricity. User community groups, we do them very, very regularly. So once a month, we will go on a roadshow.
Oh, great.
You know, so we will, you know, we'll do one in Manchester, for example, and bring our customers local to that region together. London, the same thing, or we'll go up to the northwest, and we make sure that we do those in-person roadshows, so those communities. And, you know, we'll present, you know, things like Verto Intelligence. You know, we will present, these are the ideas that we're thinking about, this is innovation. What do you think? Is it useful? Is it not? Do we do anything else with this? But also, what are your biggest challenges? You know, and we also use that for the user community to network amongst themselves, right? So, you know, we almost facilitate that and take a step back and allow people to build their own personal relationships and network and take advantage of that community. In addition to the user community roadshows, we'll do what we call spotlight events as well, which we'll do, again, very regularly, and talk about little features that are coming out or other things, you know, that we think might be of interest. We've also started doing monthly podcasts this year, which is another thing that I've brought in that I love, you know, love the podcast. And I think, you know, we've had some fantastic guests on the podcast already this year. And we're also doing a webinar once a month now as well. You know, so, you know, we have guests typically from our customers.
Yep.
And they'll come on and they'll talk about, you know, how they've been able to use Verto and to solve their business problems and challenges. And I think everybody really finds those quite interesting and very beneficial too.
Yeah, definitely. So looking ahead, what's the next big challenge or opportunity in the public sector or that Verto is looking to tackle? And yeah, I guess what are you and your team most excited to tackle next?
Yeah, so I think we're just continually scaling what we're doing, raising our brand, you know, making more people know about us, and really getting into, you know, the heartbeat of how do we help public sector organizations reduce cost, make them more efficient, deliver more successful portfolio programs and projects in a consistent, standard way. They're the sort of the key things we want to do, and just continually be that leading PPM provider in the UK.
Yep.
We're going to do that by leveraging innovation. Mm. And I think AI is obviously, it's part of everyone's world now, but we're going to leverage that to really help teams work smarter, faster, with more confidence ultimately.
Definitely. I guess if I can ask you a question outside of PPM for the time being, maybe outside of AI if that's possible.
Yeah.
Is there anything at the show that has inspired you that's going to give you some more motivation when you return back to the office? What's given you that extra sort of push?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's been an amazing couple of days, I must admit. You know, we kind of came in, we didn't know, you know, fully what to expect from the show, but as you can imagine. But just some of the engagement with our existing customer base. So people that in those customers that we were not necessarily talking to directly, yeah. There might be a different department, it might be more senior people in the business, for example, and it's really opened up some of those conversations and doors.
Good.
You know, so that's number one, that's really good. Partnerships I mentioned earlier, so been really, really great to speak to other partners and networking here to say, oh, you know, who are you working with today? Oh, we didn't necessarily know who you were. Let's have a conversation, you know, let's see if we can work together to add more value to the public sector together, for sure. And just generally the overall sessions, you know, and the, you know, I've sat in multiple sessions across in the four corners of the building, listening to all sorts of really, really interesting people, you know, listening to their challenges and what they're looking to achieve within government and the public sector at large. And, you know, every day is a school day, right? You know, I'm learning every day, and, you know, it's been a real eye-opener in some of the conversations that we've taken part in today.
Yeah, well, I've learned a lot in this conversation as well. So I'd like to thank you, Simon. Thanks for taking the time to sit down and speak with us. And also thank you for sort of supporting the show as Virto. We'd love to see you here. We hope to see you here again next year at the DigiGov Expo 2026, which is taking place on the 23rd and 24th of September in the XL. So we look forward to that. And yeah. Thank you, Simon. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks very much.
Thank you.